Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hello, this is Zachary Cohen with VSiN.com with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into real cash. Download the Better app and use code VSiNPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSiNPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. All right, tonight is some NBA Cup action. We are in the knockout stages. I am joined by Kelly Bidlin of A Numbers Game. Kelly, how are you doing? I'm excited for tonight.
Let's go, Zach. Come on, man. Happy to be back on the pod, as always. And yeah, NBA Cup. Let's go. Fire it up. Everybody was asking me yesterday, why are there so few NBA games today? Why is the NBA not taking advantage of the slow time in college football and everything? And I say, it's the NBA Cup, man. Feel the fever.
Yeah, they are taking advantage of it with the NBA Cup that we all care a lot about. I actually do really enjoy the NBA Cup. I know a lot of people have struggled to get into it. I think that there was some talk of maybe the atmosphere in Vegas last year wasn't what it needed to be for the later stages of the tournament. But I do think that it does give a little bit of extra juice to this time of the year. You just mentioned it. It's a slow time in the sports calendar. And I think that, you know, the number one example of why players care about this is the fact that most of these games have gone under in the knockout stages in the history of the tournament. I don't have the exact mark in front of me. I asked you, I know that you don't have it either, but like these have played very similar to playoff games, maybe not quite as physical, but it's somewhere in between a high leverage regular season game and a big playoff game. So there is a lot of motivation for these teams.
Yeah, absolutely. You throw on the money factor for some of these teams. We've talked about that since day one, especially with some of the younger teams out there. You know, does that mean a little bit more for, maybe some of these guys on the Spurs or the Suns, this time around? I think it's also a great test. I think with the teams that we've got left in the NBA Cup, I think it's a fascinating group that we have left, Zach, because we get a chance to, you know, if you're the Miami Heat, right, the early season success that you've been able to find and kind of surprise the league with your fast pace and what you've been able to do defensively, and now you've got kind of all healthy. I think they're a team. Okay, go out there and prove this a little bit, right? The Toronto Raptors, I think you could say similar things about. It was a team that had started off hot, has quieted down here a little bit over the past week and a half, couple weeks. But same thing, much better start to the season than people were expecting in a down Eastern Conference. Go out there and show something. I think there is an opportunity for some of these teams to do that and to make a statement. I think if you're the Spurs, you know, I think your Suns fall under that category too. Another good showing by them last night, but can you actually show up and maybe give the Thunder a fight or even give the Thunder a loss? I mean, that would be a massive statement tomorrow night. Spurs, Lakers, same thing, right? How, if we see Wemby back, how real are these teams? You're going to be real force. We've seen the Lakers take this seriously before. So yeah, I'm excited to get this going tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just start with the Heat versus the Magic, because I think that I completely agree with you with Miami. I think this is a real opportunity for them to kind of show that they belong in the top of the Eastern Conference conversation, which is something that I've been flirting with throwing them in for the last couple of days, because I do think that you look at the advanced stats profile, this is a team that like really does look interesting as kind of a longer shot to win the Eastern Conference, especially when you throw in just kind of what Eric Spoelstra has been able to do with worse and less talented teams throughout his career. Now that he has kind of a good one, playing an interesting style of basketball, that this is a really good showcase for them to show what they're going to do, in the playoffs. So this is a game that tips at 6 p.m. Eastern, the Magic hosting the Heat. The Magic are getting 1.5 points at home. Totals 235.5. And Franz Wagner will miss this game, but I do think it was probably the best news possible for him to have a high ankle sprain. He's missing 2 to 4 weeks. I think that there was a lot of, speculation that he might have torn his knee or tore, another part of his, leg at some point. But, I think that an ankle sprain is probably the best case scenario there. Do you like anything in this game?
Yeah, I do. I think it's it's going to be an interesting matchup here tonight. And I think it's mainly just hitting on what you just hit on with Orlando. And how do we see Paolo Banchero now been back for a couple games, played 20 minutes, 24 minutes in those two games. And then Franz goes down, right? And it's, if you're Orlando, you think you're kind of getting all your key pieces back together and going to see how this all works with Banchero back in, which I think, I don't want to say I had concerns, but I had questions about how is this going to work with a guy who's such a high usage rate player, a guy who needs the ball in his hands a lot when we've seen it kind of work really well without him out of the lineup. I think this is tough, Zach. Now you go and you take Franz, which I think you, myself, JVT, all of us that have talked about on this pod for the past years, I think we've all been pretty big Franz Wagner fans, and I think this year was a good example of what he does to kind of bring that whole team together. I'm interested to see what they look like. I'm not necessarily saying this is a much better or a much worse team with Paolo Banchero in and Franz out. Ideally, you'd want them both in, obviously, and see what this team really looks like together. But I've got concerns. It was working so well with Franz in there, and everybody was seemingly coming together. I think if things are going to slow down, the offense is going to bog down a little bit more in the half court. Banchero really with a lot of it running through him. So I'm really interested to see how the Magic kind of adjust here. And this is, I think the biggest thing is because there's kind of a storyline with a lot of these teams in almost every one of these NBA Cup Court final games of, all right, maybe if this was a 7-game series, this wouldn't concern me as much, right? But one game, how are you going to be able to adjust everything on the fly when Miami's been playing, you've been playing well, maybe not these past few games, but playing well to start this season, playing a very unique style. And they know exactly what they're doing coming into this game. So I think it's going to be more – I've got more questions when it comes to Orlando in this one than I do Miami. Orlando 7-4 over their last 11. They have plus 6.9, the sixth best net rating in that time. You're seeing in both of these teams, the 10th best offense during that time for Orlando, sixth best defense. Miami 6-4 over that same stretch, plus 6.0 net rating. That's seventh. So sixth and seventh best net ratings in the NBA over the past 10 games. 14th on offense and third on defense for Miami. If you have not caught the Miami Heat this year, it has been high pace offense and it has been really quality defense that they're going to have to lean on again. So yeah, Zach, I'm looking at the Heat in this game. I'm also looking at the under. We've seen this total. You and I were texting yesterday. A lot of under steam came in early on these two games for tonight. We've bounced back out to about 235 as we're sitting here recording at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. It's 235.5 at most places out there, the total. I'm back interested in the under here. I think at that number is probably going to be an underplay as well for me, but I already have a small Heat bet in on the money line at minus 125.
Yeah, I have the Heat money line as well. I got it at minus 112. It is minus 112 right now. There's a minus 115 out there if you can't get that number. But I do think this is a game where the uncertainty of what they're going to look like with Paolo without Franz is enough for me to back Miami. I think you said it really well. The Heat have been playing very, very fast offensively, very well offensively, and they have not, you know, sacrificed anything whatsoever on the defensive end, which is maybe the most impressive thing about what Spoelstra's done this year is he's been able to tinker with this offense and bring in this completely new system, this kind of out of the box system, and just has not, you know, relented whatsoever on the other end of the floor. That's very, very rare. But I think this is a team that really should be able to take advantage of the absence of Wagner, because this is a Magic team that it's a small sample size, but they have performed very poorly when it has been Paolo on and Franz off. Only 312 possessions this year, very small sample size, like I just mentioned, but they've been outscored by 6.3 points per 100 possessions in those possessions. And it's been a scenario where, like, the offense has been very bad, which is interesting because Banchero is obviously a very good offensive player, but Wagner is very good at attacking downhill. He's also very unselfish. He's somebody that you could run your offense through, which is big when you're talking about a Magic team that doesn't have maybe the most traditional point guard play. Like, having another player out there that can run some offense is big. So I think they're going to be hurting on offense, and I think they're going to be hurting on defense because Wagner is one of the better, you know, wing defenders in the NBA. So I'm interested in seeing what this looks like. I'm not concerned about, you know, Banchero being part of this Magic team long term. I know that there was some hot take, you know, stuff about, you know, yeah, is this team better off without Banchero? The only reason I would say that they would be in that situation is if they can get Giannis for Banchero. Like, I think they need Banchero scoring when it gets to the postseason and when, you know, things kind of slow down and become like a grind fest. His ability to put the ball on the floor and score in isolation is big.
Nah, I completely agree with you. I mean, absolutely, I think that's being overblown. Now, for one game, I think with these kind of radical adjustments, different story, right? I think it's a little bit different conversation. Yep. Just to go through the rest, I guess, of the injury news here, it does look like Tyler Hero and Davion Mitchell will both go for Miami Heat. They were upgraded to probable. I know they had questionable tags on them yesterday. I guess we shouldn't skip over it. Zach, Jalen Suggs questionable for this game too. I guess I have a feeling he's going to go is what my read is on that situation. But Suggs been dealing with stuff here for the past few weeks. So something to keep your eye on if you are looking to back Orlando here. I don't know about you, Zach. This is one where we don't talk about this often. He'd have played so well to start the year, but man, they are stumbling into this game. There's no, I want to make sure that's clear. I think they are a team. I think there's another team we're going to discuss here in the next game. I'm a little bit more concerned about that with, but they got rocked by Sacramento at home the other night. I think it was Saturday night, lost against this Orlando team the night before, and they've lost four of their last five overall. So I would say slight concern there for me, but man, if there is a time to kind of, okay, snap back into focus, get our stuff back together, and especially with all these players coming back to play in this game too, I've got more confidence in Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat than most, I guess, than, okay, that was a good wake-up call. Let's get ready for this NBA Cup game against Orlando.
Yes, losing to the Kings at home is definitely not the greatest thing in the world. So it's definitely concerning, especially because I have it written down here, like Miami to win the NBA Cup at 16-1 is probably the best bet you could make outside of taking OKC at -120, just because I do think the Heat have a really good shot of getting to the finals on that side of the bracket. And I think that, you know, getting a 16-1 price and just having it later on to play with is something that is valuable. But yeah, you got to be able to kind of end these recent struggles and snap out of it and win this game, because it doesn't mean anything if they don't win this one. So I am actually also monitoring the Suggs situation, because I was actually watching that Knicks game. I had Suggs to go over 4.5 assists, and he left the game with like 5 minutes left, and it looked like a groin injury. Did not come back in, ended up going under. And you always worry with him because he's a player that misses a lot of time. They're going to be careful with him if he's injured. I didn't see him on the 8:30 a.m. injury report, but if he's listed as questionable somewhere, like, yeah, that is definitely not a great sign.
That's good. Any props you're betting in this one, Zach? Because that's – I didn't do anything. Look, more of these guys go out. Hate to say it, but Paolo overs might have to be a look just because he's going to have to do a lot.
Yeah, I don't have anything for this one. I mean, like, I would have considered the Suggs assists again, just because I do think he's been doing a really good job of running the offense and setting guys up for good looks. But I don't think I'm going to take that because, like I just said, like, I do think he's a little banged up coming into this one. And I do need to see them play without Franz just to kind of know what this is all going to look like. I do think that Banchero assists is interesting, because I think that the first, you know, thought would be that he's going to go out there and score a lot, but the Knicks are also going to, I mean, the Heat are also going to come out there and put some pressure on him. So I do wonder if there's going to be some opportunities for him to just kind of kick to open teammates.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, well, let's move on to Knicks-Raptors. This game tips at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The Knicks are 4.5-point road favorites. Total's 226.5. You just mentioned your worry about the Raptors. I think that's who you're talking about, for good reason. Why don't you tell the people why?
Yeah, man. How about 0-7 ATS in their last seven games? 0-5 their last five at home. Five losses overall their last six. Twice against Charlotte. Not a good showing. And once against these Knicks. So, yeah, this is Toronto team. I didn't know R.J. Barrett mattered this much, Zach. I guess that's the biggest takeaway. But, I'm lightly joking there. He's been good. But, yeah, man, this team that started off so hot just not looking as good. This is probably more like their last 11 games. They're 6-5, 14th net rating in the NBA, 18th offense, 9th defense. Like, that's probably something that's I would say is a little bit more representative of what this Raptors team truly is than what that hot start was at the beginning of the season. Now, as someone who's bet a lot of Raptors overs early in the preseason, I liked that hot start, so I don't like to see them cool off here. But man, this team's really struggling here recently. On the other side, this Knicks team, 9-1 over their last 10, 8-2 ATS during that time. It will be noted, and I feel like I've heard a million people bring this up already, but like they are 2-7 on the road ATS this year. I believe that's what the number is. Worst road team in the NBA. I think it's kind of small sample size for us to be going crazy about that, but yeah, it is true. It's worth bringing up. But they're 7-1 straight up and ATS in their last eight. Finally looking healthy-ish. Karl Anthony Towns questionable tonight. I guess that is one to keep an eye out for. I assuming he is going, but definitely anything with a star player at that level, if it's actually semi-serious, they'll still hold guys out at this point, even with it just being the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup. So something to keep to monitor here this afternoon. That led me to, yes, I'm in on the Knicks. I made a small bet, though. I didn't bet. It's a smaller bet for me, too, on Miami Heat. I should have made that clear on that side. I went small to start here with the Knicks. I will be happy to add to this position later in the day if I see Karl Anthony Towns is cleared. But right now with him with the questionable tag, too important to go too much heavier on this one.
Yeah, the cat thing's weird because it is a calf injury, and like just with all the craze in sports right now, like you never know, like they might want to keep him out, but it's really tough to bet this game on a sides or total without knowing what's going to be happening with Cat. Honestly, like I almost think there's an argument to be made that Toronto would be in better shape if Cat does play, just because it puts two really weak defenders out there for Toronto to just kind of like mismatch hunt with Brunson and Cat in the starting five. It's interesting though. This Knicks team has been rolling. Barrett being out is really the only thing that has changed for the Raptors. And that's like the one guy you hear all summer that they're going to look to move off of. And maybe they'll reconsider now because they're young shooting guards that they have drafted now. Like with Dick and Walter, like those guys just like, they have not lived up to the billing whatsoever. And it has kind of put, you know, more importance on Barrett's just like ability to just be steady in that starting five. And I wonder if that's going to make them kind of reconsider the way that they build this team out in the short term. But it's an interesting game. The only thing that I have here is Scotty Barnes over 5.5 assists, which is +102. Barnes has had 7+ assists in 3 of the last 4 games without RJ Barrett. He's had 8 assists on 13 potential assists against Boston last game. I believe he's had 10+ potentials in 3 of the last 4 as well. And this Knicks team, like, they are definitely playing a little bit better, but the defense along the 3-point line is concerning, where they are number 23 in the league defending both corners, number 27 defending above the break. I just think there's going to be a lot of chances for Barnes to just kind of pick out shooters at the top of the key and find guys like Quickly and even Ingram for just open looks. So I think Barnes has a pretty good day as a passer here. But yeah, I had a lean on Toronto in this game, but I ended up backing off of it just because the way that they're playing lately hasn't been the most inspiring in the world.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this number moves, I guess, throughout the day, especially with Cat news coming in. I don't think we're going to see too big of swings in either one of these when it comes to the side, either Heat Magic or Knicks Raptors as the day goes on. But maybe I'm wrong. I guess I only see it going one way with the Knicks Raptors game, and that would be to the Knicks side. But we'll see here as the day goes. I'm also interested. I mean, these totals every year now are becoming fascinating. Heat Magic opened like 240.5, plummeted down to like 231, I think, yesterday, and then it's back out to 235.5. So obviously heavy movement on the total in the past 24 hours.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that as well. And by the way, you mentioned that Knicks trend on the road. Also 0-4 straight up and against the spread as road favorites of 6 or fewer this season. So just like the games that are supposed to be close on the road, they're not coming away with. But I do think that that's the type of thing that will change, especially with the Jalen Brunson team, just because of how clutch he is in the final 5 minutes. Like, they're going to start to pull out some of those games that they've been losing.
Yeah, I would think so too. I think the other one, I might have mixed up numbers earlier. Knicks 9-1 straight up, 8-2 ATS, their last 10 against Toronto, for the people that like those long term trends out there. So I guess they've kind of owned the Raptors here recently, which makes sense. This Knicks team getting healthier, though, getting everybody back. It's great to see OG and Anobi back in the lineup. I don't think that's massive for this type of matchup, too, right? When you've got Barrett's out, yes, but the wings that Toronto has to be able to deploy Bridges and Anunoby on those guys is massive. And I think that's going to be the big difference in this game tonight. And then getting Brunson and Cat operating on the offensive end. I hear you, though. I think that's constantly the Knicks' concern with, if you have those two guys out there, right? We've seen it. We've kind of seen it now for the past couple years of that, where the weakness in that defense is going to be for the Knicks.
If you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code Circa will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through 5th. plus a day bet at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro. That's daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and every betting guide from the college football playoff through next year's NFL. This is your last shot at the Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now at vsin.com/circa and use promo code Circa. That's vsin.com/circa. All right. Well, we talked about these two games for tonight. I'm going to do all of tomorrow's games tomorrow on the Wednesday show. But I was wondering, do you have any leans for those two games? Anything that you're looking at ahead of time that you want to give out now?
Wemby watch, Zach. I guess that's the biggest thing, right? Wemby watch. We got to start with that. Looks like Victor Wembanyama is trending up. It looks like he could possibly play in that game tomorrow night against the Lakers. I think I'm going to be on the sidelines for both these games from a betting standpoint. Look, Suns, Thunder. I don't even know what to say about that, Zach. I don't want to get in the way of the Thunder or the Suns right now. I keep trying to get in front of the Suns and they keep bashing my head in. So your Phoenix Suns are doing a great job down there, including last night against Minnesota. That would hurt. So yeah, look, what is it? 15 and a half right now, I believe is the spread. I think that's a pretty easy pass for me. Spurs Lakers. I can't wait to watch. I don't really think. Where I have my concerns about Orlando and how they're going to fit like star players in like Paolo Banchero, I really don't have that concern at all with Victor Wembanyama coming back. It's going to be fun to kind of see this full complement of Spurs stars finally playing together with all the guards, young guards healthy and out there and Wembanyama out there. So I'm really interested. I think it's going to end up me being on the sidelines for both of these games. I think that Spurs Lakers game is going to be really fun to watch, but don't think I will be betting it. I lean Lakers right now at laying four. I still think they're going to be the team to beat in that matchup. But man, I've got concerns about what this team looks like, what this Lakers team looks like right now, and I guess what it looks like in the near future. I think that they've shown that there's a little bit of struggles, at least trying to figure out exactly how this Reeves, Luka, LeBron trio is going to work together. And we've seen some good out of LeBron here recently. We've seen some bad out of LeBron here recently. So I think it's a fascinating matchup. I think from a betting standpoint, though, I'm probably on the sidelines. I have made one futures bet, though. I bet the Thunder to win the NBA Cup. I know, real exciting. And Kelly Bidlin jumping on ordered handicappers and dropping hot takes. I laid it -120. This was one, Zach, I just started looking yesterday, and I kind of had it in the back of my mind the whole time I was probably going to make this play at some point. I waited until last minute where it was like those numbers started to run yesterday. There's -140s, 145s out there, which I think is probably more properly priced. You're talking about a 15.5-point favorite in their first game. Okay, you're gonna play Spurs or Lakers. Let's take the highest power rated teams on. Lakers, you play in the semis, you play the Knicks in the finals. Even if you money line roll over that, I think you're getting about the same price as this -120. And that's about if the worst case scenario route lays out for the Thunder. So I think at -120, it's a pretty good play. Brought this up when we were talking Heat Magic, I believe. But like, this is one of those, though, like the Thunder would rather see in 7-game series the whole time, right? Like, the one thing that goes against them or hurts them a little bit here in these 1-game situations is just shooting variance, right? Things that could happen in a game that maybe you get caught by or burnt by. So, look, I think if this was a price you were seeing in the playoffs, I'd be more excited to jump on it a little bit bigger. But, man, 3 games, all they got to do, we've seen what they've done all season. -120 was too good for me to pass up.
Yeah, I spoke about that a little bit yesterday. Like, it did seem like an outrageous price for a team that has just been dominant this season. So assuming, you know, SGA is not actually dealing with an elbow injury that kept him out of that game against Utah the other day, I really can't see them losing to the Suns. I know Phoenix played them well, you know, a couple of games ago, but even with Booker back, potentially, it just seems like a game they're going to win. And, you know, we've seen them absolutely boat race the Lakers already this season. Spurs would be kind of working Wemby in, and, you know, how many minutes is he going to play right away? You don't ever know, but it just seems like a really good price. It almost seems a little too easy, though. That's what's making me a little bit nervous about
it. Yeah, no, I hear you. The who would they rather play, the Spurs or the Lakers, if Wemby's back?
I ain't the Lakers. I ain't the Lakers. I think the Lakers have more. think they have more like exploitable weaknesses, the Lakers, right now.
So I think so too, but there's always like this, there's just the damn Luka factor, right? Like that's enough, yeah. Like it's just you one game variance, right? Could Luka Doncic go for 50, you know, 50, 12, and 8? Yeah, he could, right? And you might just be toast. Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning. I don't really know who they'd rather play there. I can tell you they'd rather play anybody else in the Eastern Conference besides the New York Knicks. I know that much.
Yeah, the other side of the bracket is not looking great when you try to figure out who's going to win this thing. So
this is another one, man. I'm excited, Zach. Like, I might not be the guy like that is looking forward to the NBA Cup weeks out or anything like that. But when it gets here, I'm excited every year because I really do. I think especially these teams in the East, every single one of them, it's such a chance to make a statement early in the season. And the Knicks, we didn't even really talk about them. The Knicks is like, hey, Knicks, just go out there and prove that you're the best team in the Eastern Conference, right? A lot of people think you are. They think you're the top two. You finally, if Kat's back, you've kind of got everybody playing. Like, go out there and beat some of these feel-good stories of the Eastern Conference and kind of prove you are one of the big, bad, dominant teams out there. I think there's some great storylines, great narratives to follow throughout this NBA Cup.
Yeah, and the Bucks did win last year, so they did upset the Thunder in that final game, and it was a really good game to watch, and it was one that they actually performed pretty well right from the opening tip. So it wasn't fluky, is what I'm saying. So I guess you could see some weird things in this tournament. But we did talk about Wemby coming back, and that kind of leads me into something I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah,
Wemby is now +400 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He has missed 11 games, assuming he's coming back next game. He will have missed 11 games already. That gives him 6 more games that he could miss before he's ineligible to win this award. I think that you, me, and Jonathan Von Tobel have all felt that it's just not enough, you know, wiggle room for a player that always is injured and always kind of, you know, keeping things for, I don't know, they play it safe with him all the time because they just don't want to, you know, let the face of their franchise get injured. So it still feels like there's a lot of value to be had in the Defensive Player of the Year market, and we're not even close to figuring out the winner. Is there anybody that you're targeting there?
Man, I'm just looking at it now. I think it is. I can't believe he got reposted at those odds. I don't think you can bet that. It's such a gamble. It is such a gamble. You're basically asking Victor Wembanyama to, like, you've got to work in a couple games that he's going to miss just because of back-to-backs or a slight tweak of an ankle or something. There's still a long season to go. And, like, that's just a regular season. So then you're asking him to avoid any just even minor injury. I think that's a lot to ask. I don't think you could bet him at 4-1. I think that Chet is he's probably the rightful favorite, I guess. But, I think you can fairly have the same concerns about Chet Holmgren that you've had about him and Victor Wembanyama ever since he came in the league, right? And that's same thing. He might not be injured now, and he might not be racking up games missed, but are you sure? You want to bet +160 on December 9th that he's going to be able to make it through the season? I don't know about that. I think there are I think the top of this board is beatable. Man, I don't even know who I would look at next. I took a flyer bet on Jalen Suggs a while back. He's up there in estimated defensive EPM right now over at Dunks and Threes. I like that. He's missing games though too, which is the problem. So I think that's gonna be an issue for him. I think there's possible. This guy gets ignored every single year. Is it possible? I don't like the price on him, though. Is it possible that this is finally the year if the Heat finish with a top-5 defense that Bam Adebayo gets some love? I he might not have the stats. It might not have the crazy stock numbers and everything like some of these guys. But, like, that feels very possible, very likely. I would just, like, I would want him in longer than 8-1. That's the only problem.
I felt the exact same way. I was looking at Bam's numbers today, and I went over and saw the price, and I'm like, oh, I would like a little bit longer than that. I the player that, like, is now starting to interest me the most is Amen Thompson. I just think that getting double-digit odds on, you know, maybe you could make an argument it's the best defensive player on the second-best defensive team, and there's not as much of a you know, a fight for who's the best defensive player on the Rockets as there is for the Thunder, because with OKC, it's like Chet is the favorite right now, but there are two other Thunder players in the top three defensive EPM. Neither one of them is Chet. It's Hartenstein and Wallace.
Right.
And then you look down a little bit more and like it's Jalen Williams, and the other Jalen Williams is also a good defender, and SGA gets his love on the defensive end of the floor. Like there's just so many guys on OKC pulling votes away from each other. I wonder if it's just going to be easiest come the end of the year to say, all right, let's just give it to Thompson then. He's the best defensive player on the second best defensive team.
I mean, frankly, Zach, like I think either Thompson brother isn't a bad bet, right? I think Asar could be thought of that same way in Detroit, right? Like you're going to be one of the better defenses, or you look like one of the better defenses right now in the Eastern Conference, and he's kind of the name, at least, on that defense. So, I don't hate either one of those. I think it's interesting, though, when we start mixing in some of these other names that we hear every year, right? Draymond Green, Rudy Gobert, you know, how live are those guys? I don't even know at this point. I really don't know.
Yeah, we need one of these sports books to hang a Willa Thompson win defensive player of the
like
year.
That,
and then
yeah.
Maybe also a Willa Spencer win sixth man of the year, too.
You know who's having a sixth season defensively is Zach Edey. I just don't know, like, is Zach Edey
yes.
going to end up with, like, is he going to end up with, like, the stock numbers, though? Like, I don't know. He's going to have a million rebounds, but...
It's also like Wemby. It's like he's already missed, I think, 13 games. So it's he might not be eligible.
Oh, is that what he's up to?
So good.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't bet that. Okay,
yeah,
MVP. I'm going to throw this back at you. MVP, is it Jokic, SGA, Luka? Are we down to those three already on December 9th? Or is there a chance for somebody else to get involved here?
I think it's one of those three, and I think that weirdly, like for the first time, like in the last like 5-6 years, like I don't think it's Joker. I think it's SGA. I think that like the biggest argument for Joker over the last couple of years has been that he has had kind of the big advanced stats, you know, advantage over SGA. But now you look this year, and SGA is like head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of estimated plus minus. He's number one in the league in estimated wins added, and I just kind of feel like night in, night out, what he is doing is like unprecedented, where it's like he gives you 30 no matter what. Like it's just not even a question. Like he's going to give you 30 points. This team has lost one game, and the one game that they lost, they were up 20 and they were playing without all of their stars outside of him. So it's like this team has just been so good, and he's been such a big part of it that I do think that he should win this year, but I don't know if they're going to give it to him 2 years in a row, because that's the problem we run into every single season.
Well, I think the thing he's got going for him this year, on top of what you just mentioned, the other part is if they're really in this historic wins race the whole season, right? Then okay, whatever. His name, the Thunder, stay in the headlines all season long. I think that leads to him more likely winning. I have a Jokic bet at like 5-1 from when he dipped early in the season. My concern right now is that team going to be great getting through all these injuries with Aaron Gordon out? That's a problem. So I'm wondering if the losses begin to stack up with what Jokic's case looks like.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. All right, well, we have to get Kelly out of here. A numbers game starts very soon. We are recording this at 9:50 a.m. Eastern. Well, actually finishing up at 9:50 a.m. Eastern. We started at 9:30, but this is we have to mention one more time before we recap some of our best bets for today. If you think you could read matchups, rotations, and usage, prove it on Better Picks. Pick more or less on player stat lines and turn your basketball analysis into real money. Right now, use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit required. Make two sharp picks. You can win up to 1,000x your entry. Live in 33 states. Download Better and get in the game. And I always mention, we do a lot of player props on this show, so I would definitely head over to Better, take that free money, and see what you can do. But let's recap our best bets for tonight's slate. I'm on the Heat money line at -112 against the Magic, and I have Scottie Barnes over 5.5 assists at +102 against the Knicks. Kelly, what do you have?
Yeah, smaller play on the Heat money line for myself. I will likely end up on the under in that game as well. And then I am on the Knicks late 4.5 with them against the Raptors.
And then OKC to win the NBA Cup -120 as well for Kelly.
That's right.
Let's get Kelly out of here. This has been another good episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hopefully you all have some success with your best tonight. And then join me again tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the show.